matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. Welcome to another Legends show. 6:30 on a Monday evening. Blues out there, get in touch. Sharpie wants to hear from you tonight. 4720967. Aldo's back. He's had his week off. And of course, Liverpool not quite top of the perch at the moment, but a win over Sunderland. Certainly many points to reflect on. Not least, the keeper's kicking, which I know is top of John's agenda. But nice to see you both, boys. Yeah, everything all right?
Yeah, great.
Should we start with that odd kick from Loris Karius at the weekend? For anyone who didn't see it.
Yeah. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Obviously, you know, you take a goal kick, he's trying to play it out to Klein, and he's sort of got his feet wrong. And
Klein's in the right-back position.
Yeah, and they're closing down, so last minute he got it wrong, and he kicked it out for the corner, which was one of the strangest things. Like I said, everyone in the stand just froze and looked at each other and said, what was that all about? But I was really, seriously, I was worried in case they scored off the corner, because that would have been absolutely horrendous. Thankfully, they didn't. They got away with it. You know?
I've never seen that, ever. In a football.
No.
Sharp, have you seen that
never
before?
Seen it in schoolboy football.
No, I don't think so.
No, a little bit peculiar, to say the least, but it seemed to pass over anyway. The Blues.
Seen a few lads kicking corner posts and.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah, instead of the ball, yeah.
Not seen that.
That was your weekend, Sharpie. Was it ruined yesterday?
Friday was good. Saturday was not bad. Sunday was dire. It was awful. Awful again. You wanted to see a reaction. And just never got one. Just we lost an early goal. There's no passion, no drive, no commitment. No energy. It just looked lackluster from the first whistle. I know Koeman's come out and said second half was better. I'm not so sure about that. It was a bit better. It couldn't be any worse, put it that way. But no, serious problems there. I've been talking before about, you know, shipping people out. But I think he realises now how big a task he's got. You know, for me, he comes out and says, we're going to play the pressing game. And I've never seen it once. And I've said to you before in the show, pressing game starts with your front player.
Yeah.
Your front player has got to be the one, the trigger that says, right, as soon as he goes, everybody goes in behind him. We ain't got that. We've got Romelu Lukaku up front who doesn't do that. So we can't play a pressing game.
It's not in his nature, is
no,
it?
No,
it's
not
like,
his nature.
It's like Sturridge. It's not in the nature.
Exactly. They won't do it, John. So he's looking to play a pressing game, but with the personnel he's got, he can't. Or he wants to, but they just won't do it. You know, and I'm looking at it, and Gareth Barry didn't play well. That was a first for him. But the whole thing, again, going forward, there was nothing there. Defensively, for the goal, was poor. 35 seconds, have a reaction. No, dig people out. You know, should have stopped across it. Nothing. Too quiet. And just accept it. Just accept it too easily. You know, we keep seeing all our yesterdays. That would never have happened. And it just looks, and I'm not saying that's the case, because I don't believe they're like that, but it looks as if they don't care. Now, if you speak to them individually, of course they care, kind of thing. But if you're looking from the outside, you see, they ain't bothered. They ain't bothered whether they get beat or not. And that's what's hurting the supporters. The supporters have travelled down there again in their numbers. They want to see their team fight. And they ain't seen that at the moment.
So what is it? One win in eight, is that
eight
right?
Nine, well,
one,
think, yeah.
One in eight or nine. Yeah. So one in nine. One shot on goal in 180 minutes of football. Is it a crisis? I was talking with Dave, our producer, before.
It's not a crisis. It's not right, and it's not.
Could it quickly become a crisis if it's not
no,
nipped in the bud?
So I think the Premier League's some really bad teams in it. So I don't think it'll become a crisis in that way. But it's critical now that, you know, they look at it and they've got to shake themselves out of it. It's as simple as that. I don't know whether he might look to change his system. Because I think the way, and it's not for me to tell him, I'm not saying that, but 4-2-3-1, it's not working. The front four aren't working, so I don't know whether they might revert, John, to 4-4-2. I know it's not the norm now, but just to change things, because I've said it all along, the front four ain't working. Ain't working, so he's got to change it some way and maybe become more solid and say 4-4-2 and get somebody up to Lukaku and play like an old-fashioned strike pairing. I don't know. But at the moment, for whatever he's trying to do and bring people in and this one, that, it ain't working.
got some difficult games coming up.
Yeah, massive games coming up. Man United, Arsenal, Liverpool, obviously, Watford away. So, big part of the season, you know. And
listen, you want to see a massive reaction against Man United.
Yeah. Got to be. Teams. In a way, I've said, and I've said before.
But they need to win themselves as well.
But it's a good game to play in.
Yeah, I think it's, you know,
it's a good game
pressure.
For Everton. Yeah. It's a good game for Everton.
Better for Everton than Man United.
For me, as a player, this is a game. This is a time to show passion and commitment. This is doesn't come better than that. One of the best ones. Man United come to Goodison. Mm. And in the past, the games have been good. So they've got to get themselves up for that. You know, they've got to get themselves up for that. The crowd are looking for something. The players have got to deliver.
Yeah. Well, you've questioned how much they care. You'll see it, won't you? In a game like Manchester United. We'll get to our first call in just one moment. A thought on Philippe Coutinho. Saw him today pictured coming out of Spire Hospital with his foot in a cast, ankle ligaments. You presume I think they're talking mid-January for some sort of return. So Christmas off for him. Look, the worst possible player to lose, John.
You could see it on Saturday when he... It wasn't great before he got injured, to be fair, because Lallana was out. And we were a bit slow on the passing, and you know, it just wasn't quite right. They defended, and Achebe was left back.
What?
And Achebe played left back. He had six across the back. He's never seen it in your life. Like he played left back. Yeah. That was a back line of six. So it was difficult, but the passing game wasn't on. Mm. But the front four didn't quite gel because Lallana wasn't there, and then Coutinho went out. And
Mane struggled, didn't he?
Mane had his worst game for us by far, and it was bitty and scrappy, you know. And you thought, you know, when it got to like 67, 65 minutes, well, this is going to be a nil-niller. Mm. You're just thinking, it's not going to happen today, you know. And then, Rigi, I thought he'd done well, Rigi, to be fair to him. One of the few players that done well. And he scored a goal similar to that last season. I can't remember the team he did it against, but he took the ball by the horn. He took a raffle
ticket. Did he mean it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
No, I thought he meant it, but somebody would have questioned it.
Moyes questioned it, didn't he?
Moyes thought it was a cross.
No, Moyes says he doesn't know if it was a cross or a finish.
Yeah, he's aiming for the far post, but he's whipped it. But he scored a goal like last year, identical last year. So to me, he looked like he took a pop shot, and he won the prize,
Okay. Dave, our producer, is saying that Jermaine Defoe was on goals on Sunday yesterday and saying that strikers practice that.
Yeah.
And that it was very much meant by him. Right, let's get to our first caller on the Radio City Legends tonight. It's Tony, who's in Runcorn, and he wants to talk about the Blues. Let's get to him right now. Evening, Tony.
All right. All right, Graham.
Hi, Tony.
Hello, Tony.
It's getting to the point now. You're ringing up. What can you say about them? It's true what you said. There's players on the pitch that you don't care whether they win or lose. The only thing I'm concerned about, I think you should have kids, have some young kids on the pitch that are willing to come on, work the socks off, and you know, try and create an impression for them. Because there's players, even on the bench, there's players that are coming on that they don't care whether we win or lose because you know they're not in this planless.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point, Tone. I know obviously the young boy Tom Davis has been there or thereabouts. But I said there before at the beginning, do you think he needs to change the system to something different than what we're playing at the moment, 4-2-3-1?
No, people say to me, Liverpool and Lukaku, he's brilliant. But I don't know what they say in him. Honestly, to me, he does nothing. He can't hold the ball up. I think he's still got a lot to learn.
Definitely.
Did you see Jamie Redknapp's analysis afterwards?
No, I never.
He basically said, I still question what Lukaku's all about. He can be brilliant and bully players. Next week he'll get bullied himself. He says, I never know which Lukaku I'm going to see in an Everton team. Is that unfair or not?
Well, I've never seen him bully anybody. I've never seen him bully anybody. You know, and so I disagree in that way, but I can see where he's coming from. You know, I look at Costa, even looking at Charlie Austin, and he's not top drawer, but he puts himself about and makes it difficult. I thought Van Dijk and the other centre-back, Font, had a cigar on Sunday. You know, it was easy for them. And I'm thinking, come on, you know, the fans have travelled down there in numbers again. Show a bit of commitment, you know, a bit of drive, not just him, but everybody. And they just accept it, and that's the galling thing. They just seem to... Oh, well, it's just another game, we accept it. They don't see any fight. You know, there's the goal went in, and right away you would be turning around having a go at somebody for what's happened there. Why have you not picked up? Why have you not stopped across? And it was just a case of shrug the shoulders and, well, these things happen. And no reaction afterwards. Man just said it got better in the second half, which it did. It couldn't get any worse. But no, yeah, not for me. And listen, I'm not talking about a great Premier League here as well. You know, I think there's four or five teams. I've said all along that top six will remain that top six, I think, all throughout the season. Apart from that, there's not a lot. It's not a great league. It's not a great Premier League. And that's a disappointing thing. There's games here that we should have won if we'd have, I hate saying the word, shown the right application. But oh, Burnley away, you know, Chelsea capitulation, that on Sunday. You know, it's too many to mention now. And that's a worrying thing. They need to get out of it quick. And how do they get out of it? Is it a change of system? Is it helping maybe put somebody up front and help Lukaku? I don't know. I just think at this moment in time, if we go on to the games we've got coming up, the big games we've got coming up, it doesn't look too bright at all.
I'm driving the derby game.
Yeah, but Arsenal before that, you know, Manchester United on Saturday, I said to Steve and John, you know, it's probably a good game, Manchester United, your next game. They've got to show a reaction there. They've got to show a reaction there. Crowd will be up for it, but the crowd need to see something. They need to see.
Well, really, Graham, we have to show a reaction after the Chelsea game.
Yeah, exactly. Swansea done different. Swansea came and sat behind. I don't think United will necessarily do that. No. They'll come out, but we need to show a lot more passion, commitment, drive, aggression than what we have done in the last few weeks.
John, did you see Ronald Koeman's interview after the game last night?
No, I didn't. I watched the game. Very relaxed, very chilled out about it.
It's almost like he's not, you know, he's not worried about the situation. Lots of Evertonians I've heard today are very, very worried. But Ronald just seems the absolute epitome of calm. Is that just the man himself?
From an outsider, me looking in, I wouldn't be too worried. You know, he didn't do enough in the transfer market for me. You know, what he should have done with the money that should have been available.
Well, that's the only thing. That's the only thing I'm thinking of at the moment. I'm not worried until he's got his own side. The transfer window.
You want to see something in January, don't you? You would want him to pull a couple of rabbits out the hat in January for Everton.
But it won't solve it, will it? Straight away.
No, that's the thing. No, January's always difficult. Yeah, January's always difficult to bring players in and the right players and, you know, for the right price and everything else. The price goes up if people know you're desperate. So it's not necessarily just going to. I'd like to see players in January, of course I would, but I think it's the summer where it's going to be his big transfer goal.
Okay. See how good this Welsh is.
Yeah, well, he's got the Andy's corn.
Nice one, Tony. Thank you very much indeed. Bye. Have a great night. We're going to get to Dave, who's in Oxton, in a moment or two. He's got a great point to make on youngsters coming through. It is, of course, the Radio City Legends. All the old favourites are on, including Look Who's Scoring, and a couple of thumbs up and thumbs down from the boys as well. Liverpool, of course, back in action tomorrow night as well. If you want to get your call in on the Blues, Reds, anything, 0151 472 0967.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening, 6:48. This is the Radio City Legends, John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. And we've kept waiting on the phone line, Dave in Oxton. He's waited patiently to talk to the lads. He's got a brilliant point to make about where perhaps we find the next Stephen Gerrard from. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Legends.
Hi, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Gentlemen, the reason for my call is I actually made the call on Saturday when it was a little bit more prevalent, but on last week, a young kid from Liverpool, not too sure where in Liverpool, but made headlines, and he's made headlines in papers, and I believe he was on Granada Report this morning. A kid called Bobby Duncan, who scored a first ever hat-trick against Brazil. Now, this kid is, I believe, 15 or 16 years of age, and he's currently at Man City. Now, my question is, and I don't know the answer to this, how come this kid isn't at one of our local clubs? I'd like to say Tramia, but I wish, you know, why isn't he at Liverpool or Everton? Is there something wrong with the recruitment? Is there something wrong with the scouting? And when I looked a little bit further into it, and apologies for going on here, every time you seem to, you type in Bobby Duncan, there's other people talking about him, Zinedine Zidane, blah, 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 blah. And this is Steven Gerrard's cousin. So, I don't know what's happening. Why haven't Liverpool or Everton picked him up? Is it a money thing? Is it a recruitment thing?
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, I think it has to be. I've heard quite a few things about the lad. He's a tremendous player. You know, everyone's known about him for a long time. But what Man City do now, they scour not just around here. They scour everywhere. They've got big pull. They've got big money to throw about. Whatever age the kid is. And use enticements. And at the end of the day, it's up to the kid and the parents perhaps to turn them down, to stay with the club, with they maybe support. But I don't know. I don't know. But the lad's got he's a terrific prospect.
Yeah.
Fantastic young player.
Could Steven Gerrard have any pull on him?
I wouldn't have a clue. I don't know so much. It is a pity. You know, you're spot on, you know, that he's not stayed local. But probably only the lad or his agents and his parents know, you know, for sure, the reason why he went to Manchester City.
I'm just going to say, listen, we all want local kids to play for local clubs, but unfortunately, this day and age now, Man City, with the pool they've got, and as John quite rightly said, the money, you know, and listen, we're talking about young kids here getting offered crazy.
Yeah. And parents.
Incentives and parents as well. Crazy, crazy money for kids so young. Now, listen, we all want, as parents, want what's best for our kid kind of thing, but when they're waving, like, wads of money about, you know, it's crazy. You know, sometimes...
So, Graham, are you saying that Man City or a club would offer the parents money? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know the answer.
It's gone on in the past. You know, we all know it's gone on in the past. You know, with agents do things and whatever offer incentives, which they have done in the past. You can't say this is the case with this lad because we don't really know.
No.
But you know, you can put two and two together and maybe come up with an answer. You know.
Some of the things that goes on, like, you know, they make the parents scouts, put them on the payroll to be scouts and everything else. So there's all ways that they get round it. I'm not saying that's the case here. But obviously Man City's academy at this moment in time has blown everybody away in terms of facilities and everything about it. And honestly, if you see it, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So that may well have been the pool, you know, for all we know, that may well have been the pool. But certainly, you know, the kid has got talent, you know, and it's unfortunate we're losing him out with the region kind of thing. But all we can do is wish him all the best and watch him hopefully progress.
Another question I have is, if you look at last week, it was Dembele starting against Bloody Barcelona. What age? You know, he's only a kid. You know, what chances has this young kid got at Man City at that age?
Yeah, exactly.
Would he not be better at a lesser club and maybe getting a chance to go and play, you know, first team or under 23?
Well,
I don't know.
That's what we like as managers, myself and Sharpie. You know, we could entice parents with that, you know, and trying to keep the best young kids that we had respectively at the clubs where we managed. But unfortunately, some parents would want to take the kids to clubs where they're going to get lost and go to the pub and brag that they're at these clubs and brag to their friends and they're doing the kid no good because, you know, it can work out better for the kid if they're getting real good competitive games at a really good level, you know, the first, second, third division, whatever it is, rather than, you know, wasting away in the reserves or not getting a game at a higher level and then develop from there. You know, but unfortunately, you know, some parents don't see it that way. Mm. They'd rather go and have a few pints and say, my lad's at so-and-so, my lad's at so-and-so, and the poor lad's losing out.
Well, let's hope Stephen can... Well, I mean, this is just a little bit of exposure for him. He's on Canada Reports or whatever this morning. Let's hope Stephen can come back and get to grips with him and then, you know, hopefully bring him back to Merseyside, which, you know... Well, you know, I'm a Liverpool supporter, but whether he's Liverpool or Everton, it'd be nice to see a young kid, you know, back to the local club.
You know what I don't like about it, and I'm wrong for saying, that's putting so much pressure on the kid now as well.
With all this,
the Granada reports and everything else. And,
you know,
the kid probably himself wants just to play it under the radar and just do it. But now the Granada reports get in, the pressure on that kid will be immense.
Hey, you say that, Sharpie. I just Googled him when Dave rang up. And actually, he was profiled 3 years ago as a 12-year-old striker with the City Academy. And there's a picture here in the Echo of him with Zinedine Zidane. He's had a fair bit of profile.
That's the only one I've seen, yeah.
Yeah, he's had some profile for about 3 years now.
Well, he's obviously been there over there, hasn't he? So he's just said, I'll have a snap here. He's probably the Real Madrid kids are over because Zidane managed them, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. No, they're talking about him. A total of 9 goals. This player, named best scorer at the Danone Nations Cup, is highly rated 12-year-old striker from Heighton, Bobby Duncan. Yeah. So there you go, for 3 years.
Yeah, made headlines. Dave, great shout. Yeah. Thank you, pal.
Yeah, well done.
All the best, guys. Thanks very much.
Cheers. Cool. Right, let's welcome to the Radio City Legends, Martin in Easton. Evening, Martin.
Hiya, lads. How are you doing?
Hello, Martin.
Hi, mate. It's one for Sharpie, but, I mean, Aldo might have a view on this as well. This game that Koeman wants to play, and I don't disagree with it. I in principle, I like the game. Me and the lads were talking. We've got players there at Everton that technically are as good as anyone in the Premier. Brighton and Amherst said, yeah, but technically doesn't make them physically strong enough to carry out what Koeman wants them to do. And I think that's the problem. There's a lot of players in that team who technically can outplay teams, but they physically, they can't play that game. It's just not in the makeup. And come January, I think we need at least 7 players.
Yeah, I've said it all along.
Would you be referring to Delafoe as a prime example of what you're saying? Or?
That, and to be honest, Rom as well.
Yeah.
Because Rom's game isn't about... We got shown up yesterday at Southampton by a striker who, you quite rightly say, Sharpie, he's probably back in the day would have been called a journeyman. Mm-hmm. But now he's outstanding, Austin, because his game is he will get in your grill for 90 minutes. Yeah. He will hassle you, he will make space. And, you know, you can see the Koeman stamp on that Southampton team. And I wouldn't mind if he raided Southampton for 2 or 3 of them. And you mentioned a couple of them, Van Dijk and Fonte.
Yeah,
the problem we've got is Jags and Ashley Williams. I mean, they can't be far apart in age. It's time to... I know Tyus Brown has been out for a year, but he's played a few games now. Mm. And we know Mason Holgate's fit. It's time to put one of them alongside, one of them, and bed them in.
Mm. You see, you've got Morey as well, who could go in and do a job there. Whether, you know, he fancies him that much doesn't look like that at the moment in time. But, yeah, I agree with you on Mason Holgate's done well. But, no, listen, as supporters, you want to see an Everton team that shows passion and commitment and pride. If you get that, the fans will go home happy. They might get beat, but at least they had a right good go. And I think at the moment, they're not seeing that. They're not seeing it come back and say, listen, we had a right good go here, but unfortunately we lost that. And I think that's the annoying thing. Now, I agree with you 100% about, you know, we need new faces in there. The way he plays, you know, some players aren't up to it. That's what I said to the first caller. Would you change the way the system he plays? Would you go away from 4-2-3-1?
I think we've got to till January. He's got to look at it. I mean, it's old-fashioned and it's this remarkable system, but I'm sure a club called Leicester won the league with it, 4-4-2. Because 4-4-2, I don't care what you say about it, it's still flexible enough to go to 4-5-1 or 4-3-3. If you've got the players in there, you can just swap one up, swap one back.
That's the thing. Listen, I'm not saying that's the way forward everything else, but if you had to change it, you know... You have your 2 central midfield players, probably Gareth Barry and the boy Gay, who's away for the African Nations Cup as well, which will be a miss. But then you need to have 2 wide players who are willing to put a shift in. I think Bolasie will do it, although he hasn't pulled up any trees at this moment in time. On the right-hand side, who have we got to do that? So he's still got to find a team and players to play in that position. Aaron Lennon played yesterday, didn't really show, got taken off. Delafield, come on, would you go in a game 90 minutes with Delafield playing? As a winger, had to come back and help the fullback. I'm not sure. So he's got problems. He needs to answer the question. But for me, as I said, show the Everton fans commitment, aggression, you know, a willing to work, a desire, and then they'll be with you. But what they're seeing at this moment in time is, you know, is hurting them. You know, 3,000 went down to Southampton. You know, they'll be there at Watford as well. They need to see more passion from the players.
John, you watched the game yesterday. Is this Romelu Lukaku? Does he look like he needs a player alongside him?
Sometimes, he looks a little bit isolated. Sometimes he needs balls in behind and to play to his strength. But you just can't simply just play to his strength. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to, you know, work with the things around him, but. I looked at Everton yesterday and I thought second half, to be fair, they, you know, they matched Southampton first half. They just, right, It was a really poor, poor show.
Could have been
show.
Four or five behind, couldn't it?
Could have been a couple of three, yeah. But yeah, I agree with Sharpie. Now, Man United coming up, you know, again, they're not having a great time. Everton's not. The manager has really got to get it going. They've got to get the crowd going from the first minute. They've got to get into their faces because the spotlight's on them and Mourinho now. The spotlight's on them. Don't give them any starts. Get right into bands. I'm Sharpie. I'd go something like Lukaku from Morales, Balassi and Lennon, you know, in behind some way or form. You've got pace, a bit of power up there and just tell them to, you know, ask the questions of Man United. Mm. But simply they've got to get off on the right foot against them because if you allow them to dictate Man United and take the game and win the game, Everton, you know, it'd be a really bad loss the weekend if they lost to Man United, in my opinion.
Martin?
Yeah, so totally. Yeah, I agree. The funny thing is, and we're still, is either the Premier League's poor because we're poor, because we haven't moved a jot in all the weeks that we're failing to win.
Yeah.
We haven't moved a jot.
Same position, so seventh in the table, Sharpie.
The incentive is still there.
Well, of course it is.
We can get the result against Man U because they're not pulling up any. Let's be honest. We beat West Ham and we're poor. Mm. They couldn't beat West Ham. West Ham looked a better team for the last 15 minutes. Yesterday.
No, it is. The league is nothing special, apart from your top sides that are in there to up the top. Nothing special, very much of a muchness. But that tells it everything in the fact that we haven't won in eight or nine games or whatever it may be and we're still in the same position. You know, that shows you now teams are winning below us. We've got to be very careful and that's why it's important we start winning games and putting points on the board. But certainly a run of games coming up is a tough one, but sometimes they're the best games to play in. You know, you look at Man City away, we didn't expect to do anything. OK, we're a little bit lucky, come away with a point. Man United at home, for me, was always a game that you got yourself up for and couldn't wait for it to happen. So hopefully that happens on Sunday and the players are up for it.
Nice
so,
one, Martin.
When you lose your belief as a team, it can hurt you individually as well. And, you know, you can't express yourself, you know, under scrutiny. It's a strange one. And all of a sudden, one big win and a good performance injects so much, not just for the squad, for the players individually as well. And that's what Everton need this present moment in time.
Yeah, need a massive performance, don't they? Just before we get to the break, I know Sharpie was going to say for his thumbs down, something related to Manchester United, weren't you? So thumbs down this week. What really got your wick this weekend?
It's a referee again, wasn't it? Mourinho gets sent off again and people laugh. But listen, what's going on? Kicking a water bottle, now you get sent to the stands.
John, should he be sent off for kicking his water bottle?
Well,
is it a bad example?
I got sent off. We were playing Wolverhampton Wanderers, the first game of the season, Tranmere, Roasting Day, and the referee, I thought, was having an absolute nightmare. So anyway, he gave them a penalty, which later on, I don't know, 85th minute, whatever it was, I can't remember. And I picked, do you know the carriers where you have eight water bottles? I've picked one up, and I've just gone lash and I've threw it at the ground, but they've all come out like Johnny Seven bullets, bang bang bang. I wanted the linesman. So the linesman got the referee come over and sent me into the stands. So yeah, he deserves to go to stand.
Thought you meant to give me that answer.
There you go, Radio City legends. We'll have some more thumbs up and down in a moment or two. Plus, look who's scoring. It's 4 minutes past 7 o'clock. More of your calls next. 0151 472 0967.
Our Merseyside legends, John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. Call now 0151 472 0967. Red and blue, banter and debate, the legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Right, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Radio City Legends, Aldo and Sharpie, and we're going to do Look Who's Scoring. So we're back onto this one. Look Who's Scoring. What are you after there? A pen? Your pen? Oh, yeah. There we go.
Paper, please.
Pen. Oh, you're so badly prepared, the pair of you. There we go.
I've scribbled on this.
Send that
one
over. Right, so this is a chance for Aldo to get back in the game. Five clues. There's 5 points for the first clue. And so it goes downwards. And you've just got to identify who it is we're talking about. Right. This player was born in 1973. So 43 years old. Spent 11 years of his playing career in England. And he had one Premier League club. 1973, he was born. 11 years, played in England. And he had one Premier League club. Okay. probably a bit difficult from that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love the way it's the countdown clock on this. Like, that's relevant at all. 4 points, right. This player won every English domestic trophy apart from the League Cup. Every English domestic trophy.
Oh, it's hard, this.
No? No? Okay, let's move to 3 points. So this player stayed in football as a manager and took charge of a side in the Premier League for a brief period. Is that a correct answer? Dave Downey, I'm looking at my producer. What are you saying?
I said Tony Adams.
Did you say Tony Adams?
I did, I don't.
That was pathetic, Steve.
Yeah, that was awful, wasn't it? It really was.
Right, there we go.
43.
I've not got a clue.
No?
What do you see? He won. He took charge.
Stayed in football. Took charge of a side in the Premier League for a very brief period. No? Tell you what. Sharpie's struggling today.
They're both up.
This might get you closer to it. So he's a striker. He's a striker and he scored 23 in 67 games for his country.
Sutton.
No.
This is getting farcical.
No, it wasn't Sutton.
He scored how many? What was that? How many?
23 in 67.
23 in 67. And just for a point. Yeah. Now, you should get this. Sharpie gets this. He's got a good memory for these things. He scored the winner in a Champions League final. Scored the winner of Champions League final. Do you want me to go through all the clues? Manager in the Premier League for a brief period. Won every English domestic trophy. So which club do you think he was probably with?
Wasn't Di Matteo. No.
Oh, I tell you.
43.
I think producer Dave has won this one.
He has.
No. Scandinavian. No.
Hold on. Scandinavian.
Solskjaer.
Oh! He managed in England.
Yeah, he had a dreadful period.
Cardiff,
didn't he?
Yeah.
There you go. Just enjoy this, John, because you don't get to hear him.
No, not much, have I? Yeah.
I've never.
And it
that.
Makes
never.
A fiery ring.
Right, according to producer Dave, Aldo leads 13-12
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I finished 5 points. Who won last week's, by the way?
No, we don't do it when you're not
oh,
here.
Oh, all right then.
It's no fun if you're not here. Okay. That was very good. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, born in 1973. 11 years of his playing career in England, one Premier League club. Every English domestic trophy apart from the League Cup
and
managed a Premier League side and scored 23 in 67 for his country.
And was a Liverpool fan when he was younger.
Is that right?
Yeah, what was Cardiff in the Premier League when he managed them?
Yeah.
Look at Dave nodding. I'm not getting that wrong.
Honestly, you'll do anything
less than 5
to get all those scores.
I think he's doing
all
right
off.
Now, actually. Is he
managing
Norway, isn't he?
Bromby? I think that's what
did you see the story by Henrik Larsson?
No, go on.
Managing in Sweden and his team get relegated and the fans came on and attacked his son. His son plays for the thing, I can't remember the club. So he's went on after him fighting with the supporters to get his son out.
To protect his son.
And he's needless to say, he's resigned.
Right, he's resigned. So he's not in the hospital or
no,
something?
No, he's just resigned. Henrik Larsson. I'm trying to think the club, Swedish.
I think that might be enough to call it a day. If you're attacked, if your son and yourself.
The writing's on the wall, then.
Right, we'll get some more callers in a moment or two. 0151 472 0967. Let's just talk quickly about Jurgen Klopp and again how he's turned to almost conductor, almost orchestra
yeah, it was
conductor.
Good, Steve.
Well,
it
this
was
is good. What he had to say about him going a little bit bonkers at the crowd at the weekend. Jurgen Klopp.
During the 90, 95, 100 minutes. Plus warming up, plus all the stuff, I think we all who are interested in Liverpool FC and want to be successful together need to do a job. So that's how it is. And everybody who cannot play because it's not on the pitch has still to do a job. So I have to do a job and the crowd have to do a job. And so that's all, but I'm sure they know that's what they want. That's what we all want. It's much nicer to watch a football game in a great atmosphere than in a silent room. So that's the only thing. And sometimes you need reminders in life. I need reminders too. That was my job in this moment to remind. And it was obviously quite easy because everybody was I was ready in a second, and how everybody could see it helped a lot.
My job to remind, he looked like a man possessed, didn't he,
when he did it? He's very passionate, and it's great to see, you know, at the time he was frustrated, it wasn't going our way, and it was like a library at Anfield. First off, the fans didn't get going. Mm. The Sunderland fans were very, very, very loud in many, many ways, right behind the team, and it annoyed me a little bit, because every home game this year has been really, really good. And then all of a sudden he realised it's got to get the players going here. Mm. So he starts going, but he really went for it, you know, in a passionate way, which got to the fans. And all of a sudden he changed the atmosphere completely, completely, which then, you know, went to the players, lifted the players up, and we started passing with a little bit more conviction, and we got better. I he won us the game.
There's not many managers that can do that, are there? But Steve, if you look across, honestly, the Premier League.
We upped the tempo. I go as far as to say that he won us the game, because if the crowd would have stayed the way it was, the players weren't getting lifted, and they started to believe it was going to be 0-0 themselves. All of a sudden he generated this atmosphere, and it was like watching a different game.
Let's see what our next caller thinks about that. It's Dave, who's in the city centre, Liverpool fan. Welcome to the Radio City Legends, Dave.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Aldo.
Hello, Dave.
Hi. I just wanted to say, really, about how great I thought it was on Saturday that the lads have found a different way to go and win a game. Mm-hmm. Interesting, Aidan, you talked there about Jürgen's impact on it, you know, and giving them a lift. But I just thought it was really good that, you know, they've gone through this process of being able to steamroller teams, and now when someone came and they were, what did he say, the most defensive team he's ever seen. It was really good that they just persevered and knuckled down. And
do you know, Dave, when he said that, I was surprised Jürgen saying that, because I actually say our goalkeeper pulled off two really good saves. Now against Man United, they didn't have nothing to do. So I think Man United were as defensive, if not more so, than Sunderland, because Sunderland created chances where United and a couple of other teams haven't really done nothing. But they did create a couple of little things on the break, you know. But I see where he's come. Go on, carry on, mate. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point there. In as much as against United, who were quite similar, we just seem to have run out of puff.
Yeah.
And run out of ideas. And it was really good to see, you know, I know it was an enforced change, but, you know, Origi coming on, just eventually he brought something different and a little bit of power, I suppose, and just really unsettled them. And it was a brilliant finish from the lad.
Good point.
Do you think Origi will be able to sort of keep his place in the side now, especially with the injuries that we've got at the moment?
Yeah, well, straight away now, obviously, with Coutinho, Lallana hopefully will be back at the weekend, and he will come in and replace him. He'll be the focal point where he can play him either on the left wing, which he's done before, Origi, which he can adapt to, or he can go down the middle, and Firmino can go there. So he'll have Firmino, hopefully Lallana, Mane, which, you know, should keep the balance somewhat rather than, you know, chop and change too many. Last year, you know, before he got injured, he was playing really, really well. I couldn't believe how much he'd come on. So he's got his opportunity now. That was his first real opportunity of the season to stake a claim. Coutinho's out now. Sturridge is injured, and even if Sturridge is fit, he'll have to wait, because he's come on. He's basically won us the game. You know, the 1-0, we went out to win 2, but he won us the game. So he's got his place. He has to play tomorrow.
Think how far he's come as well. I mean, when he was in, what French team was he at? He got absolutely panned, didn't he, for the season he had there?
He got mullered, the worst overseas player ever. Absolutely. But he lost loads of confidence. He lost the belief in himself. Yeah. And Klopp restored that, you know. And lads, you know, he looks a player now. He looks a player.
He does.
So, but he needs games. He's hardly had any game time, Dave, you know, so I hope he plays in tomorrow. I'd love to see him get another goal or two to you know, to keep his confidence high, and it's up to him then. It's up to him, you know. Sturridge comes, Daniel will have to sit on the bench, because this lad's got his opportunity, and hopefully he keeps it and scores loads of goals for us.
Absolutely. What sort of team are we thinking about tomorrow, John?
Don't know, you know, we've got to be a little bit careful, you know. Against Tottenham, we chopped and changed a lot, but so did Tottenham. You know, Leeds are going to come with 11 players that's played together all season, and they've done pretty well under the new manager, and it's not the league. They'll come and have a proper go. the fans are going to be so buoyant. You know, these fans are. They'll have loads there. So, you know, it's a tricky one for Jürgen to deal with. He can't know. Look, it's a quarter final. You know, it's important that we win the game. So, really interesting. I don't know whether Grujic is fit. He wasn't on the bench the weekend. I reckon it'll be Mignolet. You know, I think
yeah, he's confirmed he's starting.
Yeah,
so.
Lucas and Clavin will probably be the centre halves. I'd imagine Klein, Moreno, or maybe Trent Alexander. Then the midfield.
Ben Woodburn, will he get on the bench again?
I think he'll be on the bench. Absolutely. Yeah.
We never really touched on him in the show, did
yeah,
we? We probably
yeah,
do that
absolutely,
maybe on Thursday.
Yeah, but then the midfield, Stuart might come in. Wijnaldum needs games. Sean hasn't played that many games, so he's okay there. I think he can rest Henderson tomorrow. Whether he wants rest or not, and then up top, Origi for me. Then I don't know. I really don't know. I think he should play Manny. You know, you can't make too many changes. It's a quarter final of a competition that we went to penalties last year. We could have won, so he'll know that.
Dave, top points. We've got to move on
yeah,
to
well
finish
done,
the show.
Dave.
Thank you very much indeed, pal. Let's get to Mike finally, our final caller. He's in Prescott. Welcome to the Radio City Legends. Finishing with a blue Sharpie for you.
Evening
Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Steve, just a quick one. Thanks for that email this week regarding the charity.
Right, this Mike.
That.
Brilliant,
it
right.
Is, yeah, hopefully later I'll get that sorted and come back to Steve, so I appreciate that.
Okay, look, no one will know what we're talking about, but yeah, I'm trying to help him out with the charity too. Okay, Mike, what point do you want to make?
Are you Graeme, okay?
Hi, Mike.
Just what's concerning me at the moment, I think, Koeman's saying, obviously, they're at 70% in relation to fitness and progression. I think more like a 40%, to be fair. I think the whole transition of getting the ball from back to front is just laboured. I don't want to criticise Koeman, but there's something quite clearly wrong because I just think they're not playing for him at the moment. What it is, I don't know. But people saying about, obviously, you've seen links with Rooney. I'd have Rooney in there tomorrow because, one, he's a leader, which I don't think Jags is. I think Jags massively struggling at the moment. But he'll take people like Calvert-Lewin to a different level. I'd even give that Calvert-Lewin a go. Have you seen him in?
I haven't seen him.
He's raw, but he's fast. He's pacey. He's like a Shane Long. He works off the ball.
That's
he's
what
off
we
the
need.
Shoulder.
That's what we need.
Absolutely to do Romelu's obviously work. But I don't think he's ever going to. I can't see where the kids are going to fit in. But Koeman, to be fair, Graeme.
No, I think mate. I think we've said this before. The kids have to be exceptional to get in and you know, we see them very, very rarely. He sees them every day in training. He's got a better opinion of them. But he never had a great record at Southampton of bringing them through, if I'm honest. But listen, if the kids are good enough at Everton, he'll introduce them. Make no bones about that. He will introduce. If he think they can do a better job than some of the senior players, he will bring them in at the right time. At this moment in time, our players are playing well below, you know, what is expected of them. I think that's playing for everybody to see, Mike.
Mike, we've got to get you back on first on Thursday because we've got to finish the show. But thank you very much for the initial points and all the callers tonight. Just a quickie before we go. So we didn't get many thumbs up and thumbs down. But what about Tony Bellew and David Hay?
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Is that like a month, 2 months of just great conversation building up to this?
Be brilliant.
I think we're down at...
I just wish it was in this city rather than, you know, where it's going.
Well, I think we're down at Tottenham on the same day.
Oh, happy day.
So a load of Blues will be heading to the O2 Arena.
Yeah, the
Magistral, yeah. Oh, that'd be a great atmosphere, won't it?
You just need to see the head-to-head with those two. He's ripping his hair apart, isn't he, already?
We're honoured.
Maybe try and get him on the show in the next few weeks. Boys, thank you very much indeed. Please join me tomorrow morning on Radio City Talk from 7. Got a special match of my life with Mark Lawrenson from 9 in the morning. We'll be back with the Legends on Thursday night. See you then.